I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not go asleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body is put on the imperishable, and this mortal body is put on the immortal. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortal, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain.
Did you keep your Bible open there at 1 Corinthians 15? If the sun is shining in your eyes, by the way, feel happy to close the curtains and Matt will turn the lights on at the back maybe. It does come in the light at this time of the evening when we're meeting in here. Yeah, keep your Bible open there, and I want to begin by just telling you about somebody or something, I suppose, famous. In fact, I'd say that he's world famous. Wherever he goes in the world, he visits the poor and he visits the rich alike. He visits religious people and he visits non-religious people as well. He's fair. He visits young and old, and he speaks every language that you'll hear across the world. He'll speak Romanian, he'll speak Chinese, he'll speak English. He prowls around hospitals. He walks straight into people's homes. He will interrupt people on their holidays. He will interrupt people in their places of work. Most people would say actually that he's rather rude. He will actually barge in uninvited. Most people, as I say, find him rude. He is an enemy. Of course, it's not a particular individual I'm speaking of. It is something. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Death. Someone said death over here. That's right. I'm talking about death. Death. To be honest, talking about death isn't much fun. It's not much fun at all. Because some of us in this room have had reasonably close contact with death, it's worth our while just simply pondering a little bit this evening about death. It's also worth, I think, talking a bit about him, because as we understand about death, we actually come to understand Easter a whole load better. If we don't actually ever think about death, we could, well, I suppose, because all of us know about death, doesn't matter how old or young you are here today, doesn't matter whether you're Rebecca's age, who read the reading for us, or Sam over there, in actual fact, all of us do know about death, to never talk about it would be a little bit like avoiding talking about a huge, great, big elephant if there happened to be one sat at breakfast with you tomorrow morning. Imagine sitting at the breakfast table and there being with you a huge, great, big elephant, and then just pretending never to mention him. It would be daft, wouldn't it? I think, I mean, just what makes me aware that most of us from very early on in our lives are aware of death is because so many films, family films, children-friendly films, actually begin with someone dying. Does anyone know a film, a children film, a family film that kind of begins or has quite early on someone dying? The Lion King, that's right. Bambi. Bambi. I've got Bambi. I forgot the line. King Bambi. I've got written down here. What other? Nemo. Finding Nemo. Yeah. Begins with mum dying. Any others? Watership Down. Any others? Snow White. Any others? Cinderella. How much longer do you want to go on for? I'm doing this actually for the parents here who are worried I'm talking about death when their children are present. We show it to them all the time in our films. They are aware of it. We are all aware of it. Death is an enemy. And that's the first point I want to say. The enemy is death. A little thing will come up on the screen up there saying, we remember what it is we think about tonight. The enemy is death. Death does frighten us. Death does frighten us. When I was a little boy, my son Caleb is over there. He's 6 years old. And he sat next to Sam, who's a little bit older. When I was about Caleb and Sam's age, the little guy sat halfway back over there. I had nightmares. I had nightmares over quite a long period of my time, and mostly they were actually about my mum and dad dying. I'd wake up crying and shouting. I'd wake up extremely frightened. And as I say, some of our favourite films kind of begin in that way, with someone dying. With those films, suddenly, because there's something, someone really important dies, you're immediately, the film is serious, isn't it? And immediately we're gripped, aren't we, by the start. What's going to happen to little, Bambi? What's going to happen to Snow White, Cinderella, whoever it is? What's going to happen in the rest of the story? So it is serious, and it does concern us. The Bible takes death very seriously too. So just keep your place there, like I say, 1 Corinthians 15. And if you're smaller and younger, and hopefully there'll be an adult nearish to you, just to help you, just turn back a page there. And just turn back a page to earlier on in 1 Corinthians 15, and just look at verses 25 and 26. The Bible talks about death being an enemy. Do you see that? In fact, I just encourage you all to join in and just to stick with me. Why don't we all read together? And this will help the younger folks as well to help with them going with what's going on. Why don't we all read verses 25 and 26? And when it says that he's talking about is Jesus, okay? So let's read verses 25 and 26 together. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. You see? The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is an enemy. The Bible takes death very seriously indeed. And yes, death is even a concern for those of us who believe in the future. Lindsay was sharing earlier on about what Easter means and Easter Sunday. And yet... so often in our lives we know that, but it can still affect us to fear. It is still an enemy, isn't it, death? Martin Luther. Do anyone know who Martin Luther is? Raise your hand, especially if you're younger and you know who Martin Luther is. Anyone younger who knows who Martin Luther is? Anyone below the age of 14 know who Martin Luther is? Excellent. That's it for you, for a few folks there. Anyone want to tell everyone else who Martin Luther is? Anybody? Anyone else? Anyone want to tell us who Martin Luther is? Or it'll tell some of the children who it is, some of the younger ones. Anyone want to do that? No one wants to join me. Conrad, do you know who Martin Luther was? Andy, do you know who Martin Luther was? He wrote a very famous speech. Well, yeah. That's Martin Luther King, wasn't it? Free at last. Shall we preach that one instead? No. Martin Luther, yes, he was a Reformation theologian. That's right. What does that mean, Simon? What's it? He read Romans. He read Romans, right, yeah. Well, where did he come from? Let's begin with that. Where was it? German, that's right. He was a German. Martin, he was actually a monk. Does anyone know what a monk is? We're going to get real lost here. It's going to be like one of those stories that Ronnie Corbett tells, and you keep on heading off on different tangents and somehow finally get there. He lived in the 1500s, said Martin Luther. He was a German and he was a monk. It means he didn't get married. He lived his life for God. But most of his life was spent around trying to please God in some way or another. Kind of working out a way of making God happy with him. And it took him a long, long time. And it was reading Romans, as Chris said at the back there. You realised actually it wasn't about what he could do for God, but what God had done for him. And he was a part of a really big change in church history, and in fact world history, with what Simon said, the Reformation, bringing about a fresh realisation of what the Bible's all about, what Christianity is all about. And, you know, Martin Luther got married later in life. He married an ex-nun, and he wrote some wonderful poetry about for his wife and about his wife. But you know, when his daughter got to 13, her name was Magdalena, she died. So Martin Luther, that great famous man of history, had a daughter die. She was 13. She died in his arms. And Martin Luther kept on saying this: "I so wanted to keep my darling daughter, for I love her so dearly. If only our Lord God would leave her with me. But your will be done," he prayed. "Truly nothing better could have happened to her. I'm joyful in my spirit, but in my flesh I'm so very sad. Parting pains beyond measure. It's amazing to know she is certainly at peace, that all really is well." You see, he believed in heaven. "That all really is very well with those there, and yet to grieve so very much." See, Martin Luther, he didn't lack faith, but nor did he lack the sheer absolute agony of facing the enemy, death. It hurt. It ripped his heart out. The Bible takes death seriously, and it says there, doesn't it, that the last enemy to be destroyed, verse 26, will be death. So the Bible takes death terribly seriously. It's a terrible enemy. So how come later on in this chapter, just turn back the page again to towards the end, the bit that Rebecca read for us, look at verse 54 down there. How come the Bible can be so confident as well about a victory over death? Look at verse 54, the second part of it, and it's sort of, death is swallowed up in victory. How can the Bible say that? How can the Bible kind of, as it were, kind of like take the mickey or laugh at death? Like this little section of the Bible, the Bible's almost going nah 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 at death. That's kind of what's going on there. Read with me verse 55. Read that with me, so we're all together, to make sure that folks are joining in. Verse 55, it says this. Read together. "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" So laughing, you know, where is your sting? We've been doing lots of gardening this week in our garden, and we've got some bees. They're called solitary bees, and we're trying to find out, because somebody has told us that solitary bees don't sting. Does anyone here know about solitary bees, before I get too confident with the bees in the garden? Anyone know about bees and solitary bees? Alright? No one's going to help me then. Well, this may not be true, but apparently solitary bees don't sting. It's kind of like, you look at them, and they look like a normal bee, and it can frighten you. Is anyone allergic? You're allergic, aren't you, to bee stings?
No, I don't have been stung.
You've never been stung. You don't know. You just run a mile, don't you, Dave? That's why Dave is a very fast runner. He runs like sting whenever a bee is in sight, or a wasp. But these things, they flutter and fly about, and you can almost like, where is your sting? Don't worry about Ben. I'm quite happy with Ben hanging around with me at the front here, grabbing my knee. You think it's on you, Andy? I think he's just fixing the place. There's a little fella down here, those of you who can't see at the back. One day he will be as tall as his dad, then you'll see him. But it's how can the Bible be on the one hand saying it's a serious enemy, on the other laughing at it? Where is your sting? You can't hurt me. Is what the Bible is saying here. Well, here's the answer. Death is the enemy. But the second main point to come up on the screen there is this: the winner is Jesus. Alright? The enemy is death, but the winner is Jesus. Look again at verse 56 and 57, and again, encourage the younger ones by reading with me. Verses 56 and verse 57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, just explain that. There's quite a lot being said there. God's laws aren't bad. God's laws are good. But they set a standard that none of us can reach. A bit like, I suppose, a school teacher might write, you know, Tim sets himself low standards and then fails to achieve them. Well, the law of God, it was when you actually read the Bible and you read the law of God, you realise how terribly far you fall short. I mean, the Bible says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul and all your strength, everything you've got. When you realise that, you think, well, goodness me, I really am a miserable failure. So when you see the law, you realise what a sinner you are. So the law actually makes us realise how sinful we are. It tells us we're sinful, and because of sin, we die. That's what those two verses are saying there. But Jesus came and he didn't sin, and when he died upon the cross, he bore the sin of those who put our faith in him. He died on the cross, he tasted what the law demanded for us. The law demands our death for failing. But Jesus took that instead of us. He was stung, as it were, instead of you and me. Well, those of us who believe in him. He took the sting of death. And of course, death couldn't hold Jesus. That's what we're remembering today, Easter Sunday. He rose again. Just to say, so far in history, only one person, and that is Jesus, has ever defeated death. Only Jesus has. And that's what we celebrate at Easter. The winner over death is Jesus. Jesus raised people like Lazarus to life again after they died, but they only died again. So Jesus rose never to die again. But his resurrection affects every single one of us who put our faith in him. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this room, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, if we come to put our faith in Jesus, then his resurrection from death affects us all. Affects every single one of us. Look again at verse 57, and I've got three questions to ask you. Please join in and answer. Three really simple questions. The second one is particularly simple. All right. Here is the first question based on verse 57. Who gives the victory over death? Who gives the victory over death? God. God gives the victory over death. And here's the really easy one. The answer to this one's the answer to most questions that are asked in church. Who is the victory through? Hey, Jesus. Fantastic. Hey, it's really good that some questions are simpler and right. You know, we know them. Got to hold on to that. Jesus. And who is given the victory over death? We are. Absolutely right. Everyone can join in. Got a grandpa joining in over here. It's brilliant. So yeah, that God gives the victory. It's through Jesus' resurrection, but it's for us. So every single one of us who trust Jesus are affected by his resurrection. As a child, my family used to play a game called Releaso. Have anyone here heard of Releaso? Has anyone here ever played Releaso? My wife Tanya has. Anyone here ever played Kick the Can? So a few others have played Kick the Can. Basically, Releaso is Kick the Can. All right. Let me explain, because others of you are feeling a bit out of it now because you never played this fantastic game. Well, that is, you don't want to join and put your hand up because you feel I might ask you something. In Releaso, one person is it, and they run around tagging everyone else. Okay. And when you've been tagged, you kind of like end up having to go to jail. You know, we'd often play in a great big parkland, and you'd end up, jail was kind of like by a tree in the middle of the park. So as soon as you'd been tagged, you went and stood by the tree in the middle of the park there, okay? And then the person who's it, they try to catch absolutely everybody. You tag everyone and get everyone corralled near the tree, the jail. But if anyone who hasn't been caught runs in and gets to the tree, or kicks the can, without being tagged, without being caught, and shouts, "Releaso," everyone's freed. Alright? The person who is it has to start all over again, running around, "I'll catch everybody else," alright? But the key thing is this: one person releases the lot. That's Jesus. That's the way it is with his resurrection. He releases the lot. Those who trust him from death in the future, we have this hope. Everyone who puts their faith in him will be liberated, releaso, released from death. Confidence in the winner Jesus, it's all the way through. Look at verses 50 to 53. Just cast your eye. I'll read the words and just kind of like explain a little bit of what's going on, and as I just give in one or two extra words, then hopefully it'll become clear. It's quite a tight argument there. Verses 50 to 53, here, Paul is writing this letter to the Christians in Corinth, says this: "I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood," that is living people, "cannot inherit the kingdom of God." That is another world. Living people can't inherit, living people now can't inherit this other world. "Nor does the perishable," that is dying, rotting, when we die we rot, "nor the perishable," the dying, rotting people that we are, we age, we decay, we die, we rot, "we can't inherit the imperishable." That's impossible. "Behold," that just simply means listen, alright, or look. "I'll tell you a mystery. I'll tell you a secret." That's what he's saying now. "I'll tell you a secret." And like all secrets, always best sharing the good ones, aren't they? Well, this is really a good one, worth sharing. And this is it: "We will not all sleep." That is, we won't all die. "But we look forward to a time when we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Very, very quickly indeed. "At the last trumpet, which will sound the return of Jesus, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and will be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, this mortal body must now put on immortality." That is, we'll have new bodies. These old ones will be put away, we'll have new bodies. That is the hope that Christians have. A few weeks ago, my dad was rushed into hospital by ambulance. And my dad, his heart is failing him, but that's not all that's failing him. He has a cocktail of pills. They're all different shapes, they're all different sizes, they're all different colours, and they're all aimed at keeping a different part of his ageing body going, okay? And if he didn't have one of those pills, then something would have a knock-on effect for all the others. In fact, some of the stuff they give him has knock-on effects. Hang on, we're giving you too much of that. And so it's just a juggling act all the time, and it's kind of like he has two breakfasts. You know, he has his prunes and perhaps a bit of shredded wheat, and then he has this cocktail of stuff, and then stuff in his eyes as well, because he gets glaucoma, which means that now I'm 40 or a bit more, I have a free eye test. You know, I went to my optician. I said, "This is great, I get a free eye test," and my optician said, "Well, don't be so happy about it, it's just simply because you might get glaucoma like your dad." So alright, okay. So it's, my dad's body's failing him, and he was rushed in the hospital. I rushed down to see him really early, left Sheffield really early in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, headed on down to Hereford, and I turned up, and basically he was just having his breakfast, and he lay there in the bed there in the hospital, and this is what my dad said to me. He said this: "I think this body's done its job." "I'm looking forward to the new one." That's what he said. "I think this body's done its job. I'm looking forward to the new one." Now, he's out of hospital, and he's keeping on going. They keep popping the pills to him, but he's looking forward to the new body. Christians look forward to a day when Jesus will come again and shout, "Releaso," and in a flash we'll be changed, and we'll be given new bodies that won't grow old, won't die, and will never rot. And the confidence that we have isn't that we will escape death, no. Now, that's the last one to be conquered when Jesus returns. We still face death. The confidence is that, actual fact, one day we'll all be changed. And we'll have new bodies. And so, if I can put it this way, the rotting corpse of Good Friday, Jesus died on Friday, Good Friday, the rotting corpse of Good Friday, who became the risen, winning, conquering Lord Jesus on Easter Sunday, that is the one in whose victory all of us can share. All of us can share in that victory. The winner is Jesus. And just to kind of help remind us, we're going to play a little bit of a film, The Miracle Maker, from the point of Jesus' death through to the resurrection. So watch and listen, and there may be folks actually for whom the story of Easter in the Bible, it might be a little bit less familiar to you, in which case here's the opportunity just to think back, to watch, and to have a bit of a review of what Easter, what happened at Easter, and the victory that every one of us can share in if we'd only put our faith in Jesus. So let's watch together. Great. Well, do get back home and read it for yourselves. It's all there in the Bible, every bit of that, and from the Miracle Maker. Yeah, the rotting corpse of Good Friday became the risen, winning, conquering Lord Jesus that we celebrate today, Easter Sunday, and that's a victory that we share in. A number of weeks ago, I got this letter, from a friend of mine. It's just a simple illustration, really, and a great encouragement to me, and I hope to you, of the impact, the effect that knowing Jesus' resurrection has. This is what my friend Ian wrote to me. He said, I was thinking about you over the last few days as I was berthed up high in the Hallamshire Hospital, just across the way there. From this vantage point, I had a good view looking down on where you work. An ambulance took me and they thought it was kidney stones. It proved to be a tumour in the kidney. Whilst there, the time to reflect came to me, and Philippians chapter 1, a part of the Bible, is what my friend read, and this is what he encouraged me with. Let me just read from Philippians. He says this, the Bible says this, and this is what my friend was reflecting on when he had just been diagnosed with cancer there in the Hallamshire Hospital. He says, "Yes, I will rejoice," this is Paul the Apostle writing, "for I know that through your prayers," he's writing to Christian friends, "and the help of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance," some issues and problems that Paul was facing. "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed," that is of Jesus, "but will have full courage now as always, that Christ will be honoured in my body, whether I live or die. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, which is better." So that's what my friend wrote to me from the Hallamshire Hospital there. A real sense of knowing and trusting Jesus, and trusting Jesus' resurrection, and knowing that actually he too shares in the victory that we've just seen there on the film, that we've been hearing about from 1 Corinthians 15. And so as I conclude, would any of us really want to turn our back on the victory of Easter? You know, would any of us decide to let death, let the enemy, have the last word on us? I mean, that would be foolish, wouldn't it? There can't be a better day than Easter Day, Easter Sunday, to turn to the winner, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to share in his victory. Look at verse 55. "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Verse 57. "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And verse 58 goes on. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast." We know the resurrection, so we can be steadfast. We know the resurrection, so we can be immovable. Verse 58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain. We head towards heaven. We look towards a day when our bodies will be changed from corruptible and rotting ones into ones that will go on forever. And because of that, we can carry on serving God now, knowing that all that we do is not in vain. It's worthwhile. And so you may sometimes, like me, when I was a little boy, and there may be littler people here, well, there are littler people here today, when sometimes we worry and death causes us to fear, then in our families I want to encourage us to be steadfast, to be immovable as families, and to actually encourage each other. Parents, encourage our children with these wonderful truths to hold on to be steadfast, and to know the natural fact, it will all work through well. We've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, because Jesus is the winner. And as we go on in life, and as you get into those teenage years, or sometimes just those pre-teenage years and into our teenage years, there are pressures. There are always pressures, aren't there? Other people want us to live and to be like them, and being a Christian is thought to be odd and not cool. Well, just look again at verse 58. Be steadfast, be immovable, carry on living for Jesus, because it's not in vain. He's won, and he's with us. And that's the hope that we have. So don't be moved when other people come along and say, well, live like me. No, live for Jesus. He's the only one who's conquered death. Your friends haven't. Jesus has. He's the winner. You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. Verse 58 says. And as we go on in life, well, we face temptations, don't we? And there comes a point in our life. It can happen in your late teenage years, it can happen in your 20s, it goes on through your life, but you're very aware of it sometimes in those years of life, when you realise actually you think you've dealt with a particular issue in your life, your pride, you feel you've dealt with some particular temptation that you keep falling into, and you keep thinking, it keeps on coming back strong. Well, the call of verse 58 is be immovable. Don't give up. Carry on serving God, abounding in the work of the Lord, living for the Lord, allowing the Lord God and his word to shape your life, because you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. You're on a winning side. Jesus is the winner. So keep going in your 20s and in your 30s. And as life gets more stressful and you end up with a family and you've got children that are you're responsible for, and it seems to happen that, you know, you get children at the same time as you end up having responsibility in your career. And not only that happens, you end up with aging parents, and so you've got younger ones that are kind of like stretching you over here, and you've got older ones that are stretching you over there, and you've got work stress over here, and you're thinking everyone wants a bit of a time. Don't be moved. Keep going, because Jesus has won. Carry on. Look at verse 58. It says, abound in the work of the Lord. Keep serving God, because it's not in vain. We're on the winning side. We've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. And then as we do grow age, don't we? We do face bereavement. Death will come. It is the last enemy. But when we face that, which we will, it's only a matter of time if we haven't done already. And hold on to 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus is the winner. And we have a fantastic hope ahead of us. And perhaps my dad's words will be words, I mean, I find them encouraging. Perhaps they can be words that can encourage you. You know, this body's done its job. I'm looking forward to the new one. Because we share the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it does, it changes everything, doesn't it? If we remember what Easter is all about and the resurrection of Jesus, it changes absolutely everything for eternity. So don't turn your back on Easter. Turn to it and trust the winner. Trust your life to him. I'll say this seriously, trust your death to him. Now, who do you trust to catch you on the other side of death? There's a safe pair of hands. And it's Jesus who's the winner.